This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. If you attend this year's Design Build Cincy, you'll be able to see award-winning work from students at the University of Cincinnati School of Design, Architecture, Art, and Planning. A class of students won the 2017 Editor's Award for the best school installation at this year's International Contemporary Furniture Fair, which is North America's premier showcase for contemporary design. The class created a functional furniture collection, and that full display is now on view in the DAP library, and it's going to be featured at Design Build Cincy. And here to discuss the project are DAP Assistant Professor of Practice John Dixon and DAP students Mary Kate McIntyre, Brian Kavesky, and Nate Laus. You can join the conversation, 513-419-7100, email talk at wvxu.org, or find us on Facebook or Twitter. Mary Kate, Nate, Brian, John, thank you all for being here today.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Tell me, this is named what? It's the 001 or is it 001? How do you say it?
Section 001.
Section 001. This is called the Section 001 Collection. So I'm wondering what the name is, what the story is behind that name.
Right. So we started the semester with doing a bunch of research into different movements within design. We went to Japanese modernism, American, mid-century modern, all these Scandinavian, all these kind of things. And we are in the Midwest, and we wanted the studio to begin with to be based in the Midwest. So one of the things that we really concentrated on is the American modernism movement. And we saw that Charles and Ray Eames named all of their products like very, very basic kind of things. Like, what are some of the names of their products?
There's like a LCW is just an acronym for lounge chair wood. So kind of all their products were just acronyms. So it's like, here's like the arguably some of the best designed objects in history that have the most like literal names.
Yeah. So we decided to just name ourselves what we were. And we were the first section of studios offered that semester. We were section 001. So
yeah. So it was the course number.
That's the course number.
Yep.
Well, what about the, how did you pick like the color scheme and the basic design for the furniture? How did that happen?
Well, I think it was all just kind of a collaborative effort of the studio. We kind of started with these just iterative phases where we were trying to come up with a brand identity before we got into like the actual design of furniture and the pieces themselves. You know, we wanted to build this all around an actual brand. So I wouldn't say it was a vote, like I said, more like an iterative process where we all pitched something and then we talked about it. And that's what we came to.
Now, did each of you design like a specific piece in the collection?
Yes.
Okay, Mary Kate, why don't you tell us what you designed for this?
I designed a bench swing for the outdoor collection. So we had four collections. There was an outdoor collection, a living collection, a kitchen collection, and an office collection.
Okay, so you designed it. Describe your bench swing a little bit more for us.
Okay, so my bench swing was made out of steel tubing and wood. So, it's hard to picture. It's like...
You can find it on Instagram also.
Yeah, it's really... It's kind of bizarre if you think about it, but yeah.
A bizarre bench swing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Pretty much.
Okay, and you'll stand by that description.
Yeah.
All right. Nate, what did you
I did a coffee table.
A coffee table, okay.
And to kind of explain the design of all of the pieces, just as we came together to create a brand identity, that also kind of drove the design of the pieces. So we were all trying to stick within some of the same parameters. So like with her steel tubing, mine is also made out of the same diameter steel tubing. We had similar bend radius, things of that nature. So that's what, at the end of the day, made the whole collection and the four little sets all so like collaborative. They all went with one another.
Mm-hmm. And Brian, what was your piece that you designed?
Yeah, I designed an office chair for the office section. And I worked with someone else. Haley designed the desk itself.
Okay. So I shouldn't let you off the hook. Describe your chair a little bit more since I made Mary Kate talk about her bench.
Sure. So like Nate was saying, our designs were kind of, I wouldn't say limited, but... like a derivative of the processes themselves. So the bend radiuses were all the same because we had a die of that bend radius. So I wanted my chair to be made out of aluminum because I wanted it to be lightweight. I know how heavy steel chairs can get really quickly. So it's made out of seven pieces of laser cut aluminum sheet that had been welded together, powder coated pink, and I made the seat element out of wood, soft maple.
Yeah, John, how much tweaking did they have to do along the way? I mean, was there a lot of that in the process?
Yeah, there was quite a bit. I think we kind of started pretty open ended as far as like looking into joinery, things of that nature, to kind of get inspired. So we kind of let them iterate and ideate kind of loosely. And then as we got a little closer, we started to like hone in on specific technologies that we were going to use to actually make the stuff. So like bend radii on sheet metal is dictated by what a sheet metal shop can work in. The tubing bend radius is dictated by the tooling we had. So that kind of like, we started really loose and then kind of like built in parameters as we got closer to making everything. Which made it makeable and kind of more cohesive.
How much of this were you able to build on your own? How much of this did you have to farm out to somebody else to build?
Let's say 70% of it we probably did on our own, all in-house. And then was it pretty much just the sheet metal parts and powder coating we had to outsource?
It was on a project basis, though, because Arden made this side table that was entirely outsourced just because there was nothing that she really could have done. I think she cleaned up some of the welding, but really a majority of it was done. And Mary Kate, you made your entire project.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you. I learned how to weld, woodworking, putting it all together. And it was a two-person size bench thing. So it was pretty big, carrying that around DAP.
Yeah, so these are beyond what you would expect to learn in a design school, right? I mean, these are skills that are in addition to what you would normally pick up on, right?
I would say that for at least one class specifically, we all got a ton of hands-on experience with things that, would otherwise maybe take years and years to figure out. And also, the equipment is, we were fortunate to have a lot of stuff available to us.
And I meant to say, congratulations on the win you had at the International Contemporary Furniture Fair. That how does that make all of you feel?
Pretty good. There's a lot of hard work to get it there. I'll tell you that.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was unfortunate that it happened when we were all everywhere. You know, built into the DAP curriculum are co-ops and internships. So by the time everything showed at ICFF, our class had been divided across the United States working for different companies. And I was in San Francisco, so I couldn't make it to New York for the conference. But everybody found out in their own little ways and everybody celebrated in their own way.
It was pretty interesting. I've gone to ICFF for 5 years now, probably, and I have working through other companies and everything. And it was interesting to see students go for the first time because it was we had framed the entire class around showing at ICFF. And then the students that got there, they're like, oh, this is real. Yeah. There are definitely companies that spend hundreds of thousands of dollars, for their booth. So to show on that stage, I think was had a gravity much larger than what people really originally expected.
What was the specific award that they won, John?
So we won the Editor's Choice for Best School. So there's a number of magazines and designers kind of put together an editorial board around it. And there's maybe 9 categories.
I think there was 12.
12 categories. There's a best booth, best original, best new designer, best chair. And then there's every year a best school. And there's usually 15 or 16 schools. And we're showing with the best of the best on a national stage, and there's a few international schools there, so it's pretty good to beat some of the schools that we've kind of always looked up to as far as they're our main competitors.
Who judges the competition?
So there were 4 judges, 3 judges, mostly editors for magazines, a few interior designers. So it kind of rotates every year, but Metropolis Magazine has a pretty big hand in it. So it was just the person who we interacted with the most was somebody from Metropolis.
And what were the judges' comments about the collection?
I think the cohesiveness was really the biggest thing. We had a lot of people at ICFF, all of the schools are in their own, they're all set up in their own little area. And it was pretty surprising to those of us who were working the booth those, 3 or 4 days. We had people from other companies, big brands, a lot more money than us, coming up to us and asking if things were licensed or if things were for sale. They kind of saw our booth and was like, is this a school or is this like a little startup? What's going on here?
I mean, I think like aside from winning this award, there were like two awesome compliments where people like wanting to buy stuff, thinking we were like a real company or like other
that's
schools.
That's a good compliment.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or other schools coming up and asking like, was this a year-long graduate project? You know, and it's like, no, we did this in 15 weeks with third-year industrial design students and in a range of architecture students. Like, certainly it wasn't a year-long commitment.
Yeah, and a lot of those schools too, at least a few specifically that I remember, they actually get like partner grants with actual companies outside of the school where like a company will say, okay, we want to work with a graduate studio at your design school and we want them to create a small collection for us basically. And they can get, you know, upwards of $80,000 to $100,000 for a whole year-long studio for just that. So that also kind of attest to the, I guess, impressiveness of what we were able to accomplish with so few and in such little time.
Now, John, what were some of the other pieces that are part of this collection?
We had, there's a whole pretty big range, but we had a number of different dining chairs. We had a dining table, two desks, kind of a kitchen system, a number of different housewares. So a kind of set of dinnerware.
There was a coffee maker.
A coffee, yeah, like a little coffee set, multiple lamps. I think a floor lamp and a hanging lamp and a desk lamp.
Somebody even actually made a raincoat.
Right, somebody made a raincoat, somebody made a backpack. Mm-hmm. So we had 24 students and I think 26 pieces total. So it's kind of, it becomes a lot of like figuring out like what are people going to design? This is like so many things.
Well, what was, tell me about the collaborative process. There's a cross-disciplinary element to this whole thing.
Mm-hmm. So we worked with architecture, Nate being an architect, you know, representative from architecture. And so Stephen Slaughter, the architecture professor on the project, we kind of like framed the project at the beginning. So we kind of wrote the curriculum around it and everything. The architecture students for most of the time kind of worked almost in an industrial design role, designing furniture as well. And then they designed the booth and kind of the way things were going to be exhibited within the space as well. So we had a pretty intense, very intense to assemble booth that the architecture students designed and everything fit within. So
what was it like, you know, managing all these creative people, getting everybody on the same page and getting them all to agree or not disagree or whatever you're trying to accomplish? I mean, what's that like?
Honest, John.
Yeah. At times, you know, we had like votes.
My son was a DAP student. I know these stories. You can't tell me anything I haven't already heard.
And it's interesting because we like never work in groups. So at times, like we would have a vote and like Stephen and I would say like, okay, each one of our votes counts as five. Yeah, this is a good trump card kind of. Like I think at some point we like had this color palette and it was like, okay, this burnt orange or this pink. And it was more or less like Stephen and I were like, it's pink. You know, it's like, and I think that was like, so there were a few times when we kind of had to almost take executive decisions, but all around it worked pretty well, I think, for like it being the first team project that most of the students had worked in, and I think the biggest team you could possibly imagine within DAP is, you know, 24 students is like pretty big, so it was stressful at times.
Why pink, by the way? How did that come about?
Mostly trend, just kind of like looking at different editorial things and what we admire and where those things are coming from and trying to find trends within that, and kind of found that like pink is pretty on trend right now, but also we kind of thought like it'd be like a little bit of a gamble as to how well it would go over. It happens to match DAP really well. It's really weird. Like if you step back and look at the colors, it's like
the DAP logo,
with like DAP colors. Well,
okay.
It's like,
or is that the building itself? Okay.
Yeah, to the point where we even had like, I think we had a blue and we were missing a certain green, and we had a critique kind of maybe week 9 out of 15 with the dean and the two directors in charge of our programs. And the crit went awesome, but then I get an email from my director like, this is so close to DAP
colors. A critique. Okay.
Yeah. And I get an email from my director like, the work looks incredible, it's so close to DAP, what if you change one of these colors to make it more like DAP? And it's like, okay. It fits pretty well, but that's just more or less coincidence other than a minor adjustment at the end.
Are you all in agreement on the color?
Yeah, I'd say that.
You had to be, right?
Yeah.
It really did take a while to arrive at that palette.
It did.
Like, yeah.
Weeks and weeks. But, the stuff looks great. And it has like a really definite cohesion to it.
Yeah. 513-419-7100 if you have any questions or comments, and let's talk to Allison. Hi, Allison.
Hello there, Mary Kate. I want to congratulate you. This is your high school design teacher. And guess what? I just got your analytical drawing.
You're supposed to hear something. Seniors.
Yeah, you're not hearing her?
No.
Okay. That was your high school design teacher.
Mrs. Probst?
Yes, my dear.
I can't hear her.
Yeah, very good, very good. Can't wait to see you again, all right?
Hang on just a second here. She's got a different set of headphones on, so she can actually hear you now.
Mrs. Probst.
Okay. Allison. Yes, my dear.
Hi, sorry, I could not hear you earlier.
Yeah, I just pulled your analytical drawing out to, you know, the one with the spiral in it?
Yes.
Yes, because one other girl is drawing a spiral right now, and I thought, I've got Mary Kate's piece. I'm going to show her that.
That's awesome.
She's doing it well, but, you know, without you, we couldn't have done it, I don't think.
She's anyway, got a great teacher.
Congratulations, and I'm glad to hear that you're doing so well.
Thank you so much.
Thank
I wouldn't
you for
be
the call.
Here without you.
Okay.
Thank you for the call, Allison.
Bye.
We appreciate
Bye.
It. Mary Kate, what got you into design? When did you decide you were going to be a designer?
So that's funny because that is the woman who pushed me towards industrial design.
Okay.
My high school had a design class and an art class, which I don't think is typical for high schools. But she was my design teacher, and she's actually the wife of the dean of DAP. So she kind of, I think, like saw my talent and pushed me and talked to me a lot about DAP, and if it wasn't for her, I don't think I would have gone into this.
Nate, what about you? How did you decide to go into a career in design?
I found it a little bit later. So I actually started school at a different school. I was doing a business program, and I sort of credit it to two things. I got my first MacBook when I went to college for the first year, and I just, like, for the first time fell in love with, like, this consumer product, and it was, like, so well put together and just made life, you know, so much better. And I was like, wow, I think I want to do that. So I actually applied to DAP for industrial design, and I had a backup plan for interior design because growing up, I always kind of moved around rooms in my house when my older brother would move out or mom and dad would get like...
You'd rearrange the furniture?
Exactly. Yeah. Every 6 months, you know, something would get stale and I just, you know, I tried to change everything and I really liked furniture, which was another reason why I, you know, kind of thought about industrial design and I made it into interior design and which... kind of overlaps with architecture the first year, and I fell in love with that, and 5 years later, here I am.
Yeah. And Brian, what's your story?
Well, I'm a little bit older than a lot of my classmates. I went to OSU for marketing and logistics, graduated, became a manager, kind of hated what I was doing. It just wasn't exercising any kind of creative outlet at all. So after some reflection... and talking with some of my friends and managers, one of them brought up industrial design. I'm like, oh, that sounds really, really cool. Where is that? So then I found that the best program in the country was in Cincinnati. I was living in Columbus at the time. So I applied. This was the only place I applied to, got in. And yeah, it's as amazing as I thought it was.
So, John, are you planning for doing this again next year as far as having another cross-disciplinary effort?
Yeah, so we're kind of changing the scope a bit of the project. So it'll still be, the end result will still be furnishings. We'll probably be looking at doing fewer pieces total and looking more at kind of incorporating a user into it slightly more. So right now we're actually doing the research end of it with some graduate students. And so we'll kind of like have a research document for the students to work off of starting in spring. So we'll hope it'll be slightly less... brand-centered and research-centered and history-focused in more kind of user-centered and should be really interesting. It's kind of looking at reimagining some of the spaces within the DAP building. So it's kind of the same general idea. It's still going to go to ICFF hopefully this year, but it'll be a little bit different of a project.
Mm-hmm. So what's the career outlook for people who go into design?
It's good. Most of our students graduate and they get jobs. That kind of ranges all over the place from point of purchase displays to shoes to cars to furnishings. So we have people kind of all over the world working on stuff. And it's really good. I mean, I think that's like one of the real strengths of our program is that it sets people up to get a job. They don't come out with a really big ego and they're ready to, you know. So it works out great. Mm-hmm. It's cool. And I think they've all worked probably pretty interesting places already because we have a co-op program. So
what's it like? I know when my son went through it, I thought he was in med school. I mean, because he'd call us at weird hours and say, I'm walking home from the studio. It'd be like 2 a.m. in the morning. Is it that intense?
Yep. Yep.
I think it depends on
that's
how
about all you can say about it, Nate. Yeah, right?
Maybe 4 a.m. sometimes.
Yeah.
Sometimes you don't walk home.
Yeah.
It depends on how productive you are. I mean, if you get your work done and you're diligent and you're not distracted by Facebook and YouTube, then you can get your work done in a reasonable time and you can actually get 8 hours of sleep. But
right.
Yeah. Do you agree?
Yeah. It's really like what you put into it.
Yeah.
You don't have to spend like all night, but sometimes you have to, sometimes you don't.
Now, John, this is going to be on display at Design Build Cincy. So tell me about that exhibit, if you would.
So it's going to be a slightly scaled back version of what we showed at ICFF. Slightly less components from the display itself and a little bit less furnishings, mostly based on the amount of time we have and everything. But it should be really cool. It should be great opportunity for people to see kind of what's coming out of DAP. And this is such an unusual project. And very rarely do we have things like on multiple stages that are this large. So I think it's really cool. It's going to be awesome for the students that weren't able to make it to New York to get to see it kind of in a trade show context again. So we're pretty excited about it.
Yeah. You're looking forward to seeing this at Design Build Cincy?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what did you get out of this? Each of you, what value was this to you? What did you learn?
I think for me personally, it was... it was a really good experience with the whole, like, this is not just about designing a piece of furniture and then you just have that. You know, we worked together for one. So the studio itself sort of operated like an office would. We had all worked in offices before coming into this class. So it felt a little bit like that. And then also just the whole experience of starting this like brand and building it from ground up.
So it's the teamwork effort is what you got out of it. Mm-hmm. What about you, Mary Kate?
Yeah, I would say the collaboration was a huge takeaway. Usually we're working on like individual projects by ourselves. Working with a class of 26 people is a huge change and it can be a challenge, but I mean, it's one that we flourished with. It was pretty amazing. And then the hands-on build as well.
And Brian?
I learned a lot.
Yeah, the building was super awesome. John bought the tube bender in the middle of the semester, so we had never been exposed to that kind of tool before, and I designed a second piece for the collection based around that tool. Like, I just really wanted to use it. So actually being able to make a working prototype of something, even though it's a piece of furniture and it doesn't have moving parts, was incredible.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, is that this was, like, for a lot of us, the first time that we really got to do something, show it at DAP, and then also see it go and do something outside of DAP. A lot of times our projects don't make it outside of DAP, except for on our portfolios. And so to actually take this to the public level, see the industry itself, and kind of see their reaction to it was also a really good experience.
And thanks everybody for joining me this afternoon.
Thank you.
Thank you.
DAP Assistant Professor of Practice John Dixon and DAP students Mary Kate McIntyre, Brian Kavesky, and Nate Laux. Thanks for listening to Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney.